We've been talking this month about the importance of listening. Some ideas about listening, some reasons and things of that nature. And I hope that these things are remaining in our mind, that we're contemplating and considering these things. Mainly, we've been talking about how to listen, what it means to listen, what's involved in listening. This morning, we want to consider who we listen to. I said that wrong. To whom we are listening. I made sure I got the grammar right up there. We want to think about who it is that we need to give attention to, where our instruction needs to come from, and some things about how we can make certain that what we are listening to is that which is helpful and beneficial, in fact, that which is the truth. Because as we talked about, many of the things about listening are useful for us in all aspects of life, but of the utmost importance is in the spiritual things. And while we need to seek truth as our source, even when we're discussing things in our relationships and with our friends and with our neighbors, when we start talking about spiritual things, it is essential that we make certain that we are listening to the right source, because we recognize and understand that the source matters. It makes a difference. The validity of a statement, how accurate it is, depends on the source. The closer we can get to the source of something, the more likely it is that it's going to be true. It's going to be actually what has stated. We've illustrated this in the past, and I'm sure at some point or another growing up, or maybe as adults, you played the game telephone, or some version of that where somebody tells somebody something and you keep passing it down the line, and the further you get, the worse it gets. And the time you get past 10 or 12 people, the words that are used there have absolutely nothing to do with what was said over here. We need to make sure that we're going to the source, especially in matters of the soul, because it's not inconsequential. It matters. There are consequences that we must face. When I was getting the announcement thing ready this morning, I was looking at some different things to put up there on that second slide, and I ran up on a picture that said, "You're free to make a choice. You're not free of the consequences of your choice." And that applies to listening and the source that we go to for our guidance as much as anything. There's a lot of sources available today. You can hear about religious things just about anywhere. But are those sources true to the source? Some folks, as we've talked about in the past, are even willing to just trust themselves as a source. And that rarely ever works out well. Following our own conscience, our own guide, we end up doing what we want rather than what God desires of us. Paul spoke of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth. They will wander off into myths." As human beings, we are pretty good at finding a way to rationalize any kind of behavior that we want to engage in. We can find a way to make it sound like that's what I'm supposed to do. We need to be careful, because our source matters because of the consequences involved with what we're talking about. Now, I'm going to be talking mainly about spiritual listening this morning, but understand these principles apply in our relationships and amongst our friends and neighbors on the job. If we start listening to what our coworkers have to say about somebody, we may get the wrong idea. probably nobody here heard something about somebody in their class while they were going to school, and when they actually went and talked to that person, found out that's not exactly what happened. That's not the way it went. If you can remember much at all about school, you probably remember at least one instance when that took place. If not, just keep going to school. You'll run into one eventually, if you haven't already. It happens. We need to pay attention to the source because it matters. So, as we begin here, let's understand who it is we're supposed to listen to. Well, there's only one choice. If we want to make sure that we're following the truth, we as Christians have to turn to God for our authority. We have to look to Him. I mean, He's our Creator. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. There's a half a dozen lessons in that passage right there, but we're just focusing right now on the fact that God created us. And since He is our Creator, it is only reasonable that we would look to Him for instruction and guidance about how we should conduct ourselves. But Paul goes further when he talks in Ephesians chapter 3 to the brethren there. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Paul tells us in this passage as he writes to the Ephesian brethren, that God's got a plan for us. He's always had a plan for us. It has been His plan for us since the very beginning, in fact, since before the beginning of time. God has set in place a way for us to conduct ourselves, a way for us to live that is pleasing unto Him and that leads back to Him. In addition, we know that God loves us. God cares for us. He wants what's best for us. We could turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and read all the things there that it says about God caring for us because He cares for the animals. We know He cares for us. But in James chapter 1, there's something very important that we're shown there. That James tells us that emphasizes this care and concern that God has for us. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. That statement there, that God will give us wisdom, He will teach us, He will show us what we need to know, demonstrates both His love for us and our need to turn to Him as a source. So how do we make sure that we're listening to God? How do we make sure that our source is God? Well, John deals with that in our text that was read for us this morning. Look at the first three verses of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. John there tells us that we can't believe everything that we hear because there's a lot of false spirits out there. And therefore, we have to test, okay? I need to test, John. I understand that. How do I go about testing the spirits? How do I determine that? Well, John says every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. I'll tell you what, that's a phrase I like to hear. There's a lot of folks talking about the coming of the Antichrist. John said he was already there. He was already there. What was it? One who denied Jesus came in the flesh. Now, when we look at the context of 1 John, we recognize there's a particular false doctrine that John is having to deal with. It's associated with Gnosticism, and we've talked about that, separation of spirit and body. And this has got another one of them fancy words, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I'm pretty sure I got the last three letters right. Docetism. I can get the ism. The rest of it I'm not so sure about. But I do know that what that is the opinion that Gnostics had that Jesus never had a human body. That He didn't come in the flesh and it just appeared that He died on the cross. That was one of the problems that was going about amongst the brethren and the world in the days of John. And that's what John's dealing with particularly here. But the principles apply to any false teaching. Does that person confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He came here and lived on the earth, that He walked among men, that He taught, that He set aside those men who were to be His messengers? Do they believe and teach and practice the story of Christ? Because it's the gospel that matters. The story of Jesus. A human being lowered Himself to be man, to walk on the earth, and to die a cruel death of crucifixion, though innocent of any wrong for our sins. John says, if the person confesses that, if they believe the gospel story, then they're of God. If they deny the gospel story, they deny God. You know, we sometimes think, well, these were the sort of things that were happening way back in the days of John, in the early days of the church, but we have the same sort of ideas going around even today. That Jesus wasn't a physical person. He was just a spirit that walked among men. That He didn't really physically die. It just looked like He died. And folks, those are the teachings of the Antichrist. That's exactly what John said there. If someone accepts that Jesus came in the flesh as Scripture says He did, they're speaking from God. If they deny that, they represent the spirit of the Antichrist. Continue in verse 4 of 1 John chapter 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That sounds real similar to some things we studied about in the writings of the Apostle Paul. They can't understand spiritual things because they're so focused on worldly things. If you're still focused on worldly things, you're not going to understand spiritual things. You have to be of the Spirit to understand spiritual things. You have to leave behind the world. John asserts the supremacy of God over anyone. And the one who denies Jesus is not of God. We are of God. We listen to God. We heed God. And thus, we can discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Is that source speaking that which God has spoken? Does it agree? We turn over to 1 John chapter 2 and read verses 3 through 6. We find this talked about again. In fact, this is what John's dealing with this entire letter. But in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. And whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And as I said, John's dealing with this throughout the whole letter. That sounds a lot like the first part, or the middle of chapter 1. If we want to have fellowship with God, we have to walk in the light as he is in the light. We have to keep ourselves away from sin. Now, much of John's teaching here is dealing with whether Jesus came in the flesh or not, because that's the basic foundation of what we believe. If there's someone, he goes on to explain with these particular verses, if there's someone who says, I believe Jesus came in the flesh, but they're living in immorality, they're living in worldly ways, they're not following the commands of God, then they're teaching false doctrine because they don't really know God. There's the second thing that we can do. We learn whether someone is the proper source, whether they're from God or not, by whether they believe that Jesus is the Christ. But we also learn by how they conduct themselves. That's what 1 John chapter 2 is telling us. Are they living that confession? I'm afraid that's where we fail sometimes. That's where we see more difficulties among brethren and those that believe in Jesus. They confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for their sins, but do I live that confession? If I'm not living that confession, then I'm one of those spirits that needs to be tested, because I'm a false prophet. If, at the very least, I'm saying one thing and doing something else. We test according to God's standard, and if it matches what God has said, it's true. What comes from God is singular. It all says the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. It has everything we need in order to be pleasing to God. And it has everything that God says, I want you to know. And it always agrees with God. It doesn't always agree with me. Sometimes it goes down kind of hard. But it always agrees with God. We have to do this testing because there is so much false teaching in the world even today. In fact, well, I'm not going to say there's more now than there was in the days of John. I don't know how much there was in the days of John. In fact, we go back and look at the Old Testament, we find there was a lot of false teaching back then too. So, I can't say there's more now. I seem to be hit by it more often now than I did when I was 20, 30 years younger. But that may be because I'm paying more attention than I was then. And oftentimes, that error is easy to accept. The ideas of Gnosticism in the days of John, the Docetism, or however you pronounce that, they flourished because to the Greek world, that made more sense. It made more sense to them that Jesus appeared to be in the flesh, but wasn't really, because it was more difficult to understand that Jesus was God in the flesh. And I can comprehend that. It's hard for me to grasp that idea. God is everywhere, knows everything, always, and then we see Jesus walking through the world in the Gospels. It's kind of hard to grasp, but you know, that's where faith comes in. God said. Therefore it is. But I'm sure we've all, in explaining to people why we do some of the things we do, what we believe, we've probably heard the phrase at some point or another similar to this, that's not rational thinking. or maybe in our more current climate, science doesn't support that. When we start looking at things through a worldly lens, we start accepting things that are worldly and rejecting things that are spiritual. John tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. We need to listen to God with spiritual ears and reject those things that don't agree with God. And we can do that by looking at both what people are teaching and their actions. Truth is always, always going to agree with God. I don't care how scientific the study. I don't care how many years were put into preparing it. How much math was used to figure it out. If it doesn't agree with God, it's not truth. And as I said, John was speaking these things, applying them to the ideas of Gnosticism. But we need to recognize these same principles apply to age of the earth, planets, stars, gender, marriage, parents, children, worship. Truth always agrees with God. John uses the term we here, and when John's using we understand that in that particular context, he's talking about himself, the apostles, and possibly even his audience. But we need to remember, we're also John's audience. And so, we are from God. And so we need to listen to God, and people need to be able to recognize that we are from God so that they can listen to us. If we keep His commandments, we walk with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the apostles, with all those who have fellowship with Him. But if we walk in darkness, we have no fellowship with any. That's what 1 John chapter 1 is teaching us, all the way down through part of chapter 2, in fact. We are from God because we are those who listen to God. We need to be a part of that we. And when we know the truth, we preach the truth, we know the Spirit of God from error. How do we make sure that what we're listening to is from God? We spend time with God. That almost sounds like read your Bible, doesn't it? Or study the Word. That's because it is the same thing. We spend time with God. We seek wisdom from Him through prayer. We lay on Him our burdens and our cares and our struggles. And then we go to His Word. As I think it was Wednesday night, we talked about, in that way, we converse with God. We come to a better understanding of what He wants for us. We won't find that by turning the sources of the world. It's only there when we turn to God. Why Paul was so surprised with the Galatian brethren. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As I said before, So I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. In other words, if the preaching you're paying attention to doesn't match the Word of God, you're listening to the wrong source. You're listening to a distorted or perverted gospel. And to tie back to John, in 1 John chapter 4, the gospel is the story that Jesus came to earth, lived as a man, died as a man, was raised from the dead, and ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. That's the gospel message. That's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost to the Jews that crucified Christ, and it caused them to be cut to the heart. That's what Peter preached to Cornelius over in Acts chapter 10. That's what Philip preached to the Samaritans and preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. That's what Paul preached everywhere he went. The story of Christ. If we make out Christ to be something less than God on earth, we pervert the gospel. If we make him out to be something more than man on earth, we pervert the gospel. Don't ask me how he was both. I'll point you to the passages in the Scripture that tell us that he was both. That even though he was God, he humbled himself to live as man. And while he walked on earth as a human being, he was still God. That's what the Scripture tells us. And anyone that says different, we can readily see is false teacher. Because they don't agree with God, the source. So, comes back. Who are we listening to? Yeah, I know it should be the other way. But who are we listening to? Who do we pay attention to? Are you paying attention to me? Then you better be checking to make sure that what I'm teaching is in agreement with what God said. You paying attention to your parents? Check them up. Go back to the Word of God. See what it says. Does it agree with God? If we're listening to a spirit of error, they will lead us into a worldly path. Every single time. We can look at just any of the denominations in the world today, any of the religions in the world today, and we can find and see, I think very readily, that their focus is on worldly aspects, not spiritual things. They're looking for a fix now, not for heaven in the end. Oh, they talk about heaven in the end, but their practices, their commandments, their instructions, their guides all point to having a good feeling right now. Whether we're talking about their worship service style or their lifestyle. We can't just accept what's being taught. If the Bereans were called more noble because they checked up on the inspired Apostle Paul, we need to be checking up on every man we listen to. Examining the Scriptures to see if those things are so. Testing the Spirits. Am I listening to truth? Am I listening to God? Does the message that I hear agree with what God says? And more importantly, am I willing to continue listening when the message becomes hard to swallow? It tells me to do something that I'm not sure I want to do. Because it requires us to change in order to conform to Christ. When I think about that concept, that hard to swallow concept, I'm glad I didn't grow up in Brother John and Brother Bill's time. Because they talk about castor oil and a few other things that they were given to make them help them get well or to prevent diseases. But none of it was tasty. They didn't like it. They didn't have cherry-flavored castor oil. Not even grape flavor. But it was for their good. They still had to swallow it unless they got really smart and learned a way to hold it in their mouth without tasting it so they could spit it out after they got outside. Hey, I listen every now and then, John. That's when we really need to pay attention to whether we're listening to God or not. It's something I don't like. There's something that doesn't sound like something I want to do. Go back and check. Does the Word say that's what we're supposed to do? Then you don't have a choice. Well, you have a choice. But you're going to have to live with the consequences of that choice. And the consequences may be eternal. And folks, who we listen to has an effect on every aspect of our life. I could go in a big long spiel about if you spend all your time listening to certain kinds of music, you're going to have those sort of ideas, or all your time watching certain kinds of movies or TV shows, you're going to have, but we already know all those things. What we want to emphasize this morning is we need to make sure that we're listening to God, because that will lead us to a life that matches the life of Christ. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There's the question. Am I listening to God? Am I listening to a message that will make me be like Christ? And the only place you're going to find that is with God. With the inspired message that was delivered to us through the ages in the pages of Scripture. To whom am I listening? And is that source God, ultimately? Yes, we need to spend time reading, studying from the Word of God, because if we don't, we won't be able to spot false doctrine. We need to know what's true. But we need to not just be hearing. We need to be listening. There again, when I say that phrase, it takes me back to when I was a younger fellow. Maybe not when I was a little bitty fellow, but after I got on up toward my tens and teens, there were a lot of things that Dad said that I heard, but I wasn't listening. And most of the time it led me to trouble. And I know that will happen in regards to spiritual. Are you listening? Do you hear? Take into your heart. Listen. Consider. Think about. Mull it over. Meditate on it. Read some more. Get a full understanding. Because that's what allowed Paul to say, it is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. Then, we can be busy doing the work that God has prepared for us to do. Are you listening to God with attention? Are you seeking wisdom from Him? If not, why not? Because anyone else will lead you down the path to eternal destruction. If it's not from God, it's from Satan. The Antichrist is the term that John used. Listen closely to God and heed His words. And if you've done that and you recognize this morning you're not living in accordance with what you have heard, what you have read, what you have studied, we urge you to correct that. Maybe you've devoted your life to the Lord. Maybe you've given yourself to Him and you've obeyed the gospel and become a part of the family of God through that obedience. Having confessed Christ, having turned away from serving the world and self, and you've been buried in baptism to have your sins washed away. But you find this morning that you've strayed from that path. you've let some distortion come into your mind about the gospel and about what's expected of you because you've been listening to other people. Or you've just been thinking for yourself instead of considering what God said. I urge you to correct that. Come back to God. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. Pray to God and ask Him for strength that you won't go down that path anymore. He's promised that He will. In fact, John tells us there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And when God cleanses you, you're clean, folks. Pray to God and seek forgiveness. Brethren can assist you. Certainly, we'll be more than willing to do that. If what you've done is in a public sense, it needs to be corrected publicly. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you're following the wrong path. And until you start listening to and following God, the consequences for your eternity are hell. Literally, separation from God forever. Why not give your life to the Lord? Confess your belief in the Savior. Turn from serving self and the world. Start listening to God. And be buried in baptism to have your sins washed away by the precious blood of Christ. And you can rise a new creature, a child of God, a part of the family of God, a part of the body of Christ, the church. And you can continue to guide your life by His instruction. And you can have a home in heaven when this life is over. If there's something in your life that is wrong, we can help. The question is, are you willing to take advantage of the blood of Christ to be cleansed? If so, and we can help, opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for encouragement.